Hey y'all, if you're watching this on YouTube, I have a podcast, Rambling iOS Developer, and today I decided to record my podcast, so provide video to you as well. If you are on my podcast crew and you're listening to my podcast, just so you know, I have a YouTube channel. Link is in the description for this episode. If you would like to see my face and if you would like to see this episode, you can do that on YouTube. So yeah, I decided to go ahead and follow the cool kids who record their podcast episode anyway, so I decided to record my podcast episode, this podcast episode, and just see how it goes. So I'm going to ramble about burnout syndrome today because there's a lot of discussions, or not a lot of discussions. There is a discussion on Twitter about burnout syndrome in software developers and how people deal with that. And I think it's a really real topic that we have to talk about. So, before I get started, a little bit background about myself. If you don't know me, before doing iOS development and before working in tech, I was working in behavioral health field. I have a master's degree in clinical psychology. I was a psychologist and I was a counselor. I was doing therapy and why not, and burnout syndrome is really, really close to me because, as you know, all helping professions, and a therapist or a counselor is a helping profession, and they all have tendency to have burnout syndrome. And burnout syndrome is not really new to software developers because, as I mentioned, many professions, especially helping professions, have such phenomena. Doctors, social workers, teachers, you name it. Pretty much all of the professions have burnout syndrome. Creators have burnout syndrome, like creator burnout. Artists, musicians, you name it. Everybody, every profession, every professional field might have such syndrome. So software developers are not unique. There's one opinion or common opinion about burnout syndrome, and which is incorrect, and which I saw again. Somebody said, if you like what you do, you won't burn out. Not everybody can be a software developer or programmer. This is really incorrect, and this is really problematic, because if you look at other professions like doctors, mental health counselors, social workers, nurses, teachers, they have burned out, and they have burned out not because they hate what they do. They do what they do. The majority of those people made a very conscious choice to go into that profession, to go into many years of school to do what they do, especially doctors. For software developers, it depends. We have different paths and different journeys as a software developers. So, but let's break it down. Burnout syndrome doesn't happen because you are a bad professional, or because you don't like what you do. I mean, it might be the case if you don't like what you do at all. Yes, you're gonna burn out. Yes, you know, you're not gonna wanna do what you do. It is correct, but majority of the time, it is not the case. It is not the reason. It's usually the side effect of the burnout syndrome. So something happens, and you have burnout syndrome, and then you don't want to do software development anymore, and then you're stuck in that loop where you're blaming yourself and you think that it's not, you might not be enough. You might not have what it takes to be a software developer, but it's not actually true. You do. And burnout has unique structure. So how burnout happens? Usually, burnout happens when you put a lot of labor, a lot of resources. It can be your emotional resources, it can be your time resources, it can be your space resources, what have you. It can be your money resources. So you invest in something, you buy courses or you buy materials or whatnot to perform your work really, really well, but you don't have the return on your labor, on your investment. So let me give you an example, let me give you two examples. So I'm gonna go on a little tangent. So if you're new to my podcast, I usually go and ramble about stuff and like go on the little storytelling stuff. So it's totally normal for my podcast. So because I love telling you stories. I love telling you stories from my life, from my professional life, from my experience, sharing that experience. It's kind of free format space where on YouTube I'm trying to be as concise as possible. So bear with me. So let's go on a tangent. So two examples. Example number one, since I have experience in behavioral health services and then social services as a counselor and as a psychologist. So normally counselors, psychologists, mental health professionals, so let me put it this way, counselors, because by American standard, I wasn't a psychologist, I was a mental health counselor. Counselors and social workers, they're extremely underpaid and the work is really, really difficult, really challenging. You have to deal with human beings, you have to deal with human lives, and you have to face people's trauma every day and work with that appropriately. And you have to put your A game every day because you deal with other people's mental health and you have to be professional and you have to be professional. So, and in return, you are underpaid and you are underappreciated because let's face it, we don't prioritize mental health as much as we should. We don't prioritize teachers as much as we should. And those people feel underappreciated as a result. So I'm underpaid. I struggle to pay my rent. I'm underappreciated because the system doesn't really understand the importance of mental health and mental health counseling and how it helps people to change their lives. And as a result, I have a burnout. And what is burnout on itself? It's the feeling that I'm not very passionate anymore about what I do. I don't want to do what I do. I want to do something different. It sucks what I do right now. It sucks seeing other people and listening to the stories and seeing how they got better coverage on Medicaid versus a contractor counselor who has very limited health benefits or health insurance or really bad healthcare coverage, and I can't afford to go to a doctor or to a specialist that I really need. And it drives me crazy and it burns me out. And I don't want to do that anymore. No wonder. So, but it's a psychologist, it's a behavioral health counselor, and the compensation is not really a thing. Like that developers are underpaid is not really a thing. I mean, it is a thing in certain industries, in certain companies. Yes, it is a thing. But as a software developer, you normally don't think, well, can I pay rent this month? Or like, should I think about downgrading to a studio, maybe a room, and I have my significant other who is struggling with work right now, and I can't really support both of us on a salary that I'm making right now. It's not normally the case for software developers. Normally, it's a little bit better for software developers. So how burnout manifests in, or how burnout syndrome works in software developers. Let's break it down. So, like I said, you put a lot of work, you put a lot of effort, and you don't get a lot of in return. So let's say you work for a company A, and you have three software developers who work with you. They're your colleagues. Let's name them Jake, Kaylee, and Brandon. So Jake, Kaylee, and Brandon get appreciation, shout outs, all the single every single time we have a like meeting, we have a Slack group. We occasionally, like once a month, they get shout outs from the management, and their work all of a sudden very visible and very much appreciated by the senior leadership. And your work, which is you work as hard as Kaylee, Jake, Jacob, whatever we call them, you work as much, you work as hard as your coworkers who just got shut out and like nobody notices you. And it sucks. And it can actually cause burnout, because you think, okay, I'm doing all that work and nobody says anything. Like, does it really matter what I do? Like, why do I have to work that hard? Why do I have to solve those difficult problems anymore? Does it even matter? So, and it's not vanity, because at some point, you won't have that recognition from your coworkers. They're like, hey, thank you for your hard work. Hey, that thing that you built, it really helped me. I mean, we can get into discussion whether or not like you deserve a shout out or not, whether or not your colleagues, they went extra mile or not. But sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. I know software developers who don't get enough credit they deserve, they don't get shutouts at all, and they're good communicators, they're good developers, they write really important stuff for the business, and nobody says anything about it, and it sucks, and it can contribute to the burnout. It can contribute to the burnout. Another factor is you can get fatigue from working on the product that you don't really care about. It happened to me, not necessarily to the point that it was a burnout. I wouldn't call it that. But it happened to me when I work on a product that I really didn't care about. Like a zero. Nothing. I couldn't care less. I didn't like the architecture. I didn't like the product itself. I just didn't care. I didn't like how we did things in that particular product. So at some point, I decided to do something else, to work on something else that I would enjoy a little bit more. So that happens, and if it is the case for you, you can talk to your manager and say, hey, I'm working on this thing and I'm not really interested in, can I work on something different? Can I work on different features? And let's say you work on, I don't know, an SDK, let's say, and you would like to work on the mobile app itself. Say, hey, like, I don't really like SDK work that much anymore. I would like to do something different. I would like to focus on the main app. If there is a main app or a different portion of the SDK that you always wanted to work on, but you didn't have a chance. So in this case, if you're burnt out, if you just like, well, I just can't build this anymore. If there is an option for you to do something different at your company, you should address it with your manager. And it's okay. It's okay to switch it up and do something different. So I don't see any problem with that. Another reason why burnout can happen to software developers is the environment itself. Sometimes you just get tired of your environment. It's tiring, especially if it is toxic environment, especially if you don't get, to my previous reason, appreciation that you deserve. If you don't get enough, if you're not getting paid enough, the market rate that you deserve. You see other companies, like not Fangs, and they're paying great money for iOS developers, and you are making nothing in comparison to them, it may burn you out really, really bad. And I understand that. And it's, again, you put a lot of work, you spend a lot of your personal resources on your job, and your job doesn't appreciate you appropriately, or the environment is toxic, or it's really hard to get things done because of the environment. In this case, I think it's important to move on. And at some point, it will happen. Or it may happen. And you have to move on and just see what is out there. What is out there available for you. Look for another job. You can also get tired of coding itself. It happens. I've seen it where software developers decide to branch out and go to management. That can be appropriate career path for you, and it can be just a stage in your life when, hey, I would like to do management right now because, like, that coding thing, I just can't do coding anymore. I'm tired of coding, so it's okay to switch it up. Another reason why burnout can happen is when your company lets you down. We all know we have life, and in this pandemic that is currently happening, and hopefully not for long, but we all have difficult situations, difficult circumstances, and when your company lets you down and doesn't provide support that you need, and it might not be a lot of support that you need, but it's just like in that situation you are in a tough spot and the company doesn't accommodate you or doesn't support you, that may actually cause the burnout because you have to deal with your stuff at home and you don't see any support from the company, and that sucks, and that will cause a burnout for you because not only you have to put your A game at work to provide quality code, to do good work, to be able to finish your tickets on time, but also you have to deal with your personal life, with your personal family stuff as you have to perform. And especially when traumatizing events happening in the country, it affects you in a certain way. And if your company just ignores it, it will burn you out because you're processing stuff. You're going through something, and yet you have to work really well. So that can burn you out as well. But the question is, at some point, we might experience that. We might experience burnout. So what should we do? How should we tackle burnout? So I think one of the ways to tackle the burnout is to switch your activity. So take your lunch break, and on your lunch break, go and do something else. Eat, socialize with your coworker if you can, like over Zoom if you feel like it. But more importantly, just do something different. change your location. For example, I work in the office. During my lunch break, I am not here. I can't be here. I need a break. I need to switch my environment. The same thing goes for after work hours. So it's okay, and it's very much necessary to change your physical environment when you're done working. So your body knows I'm not working anymore. I'm doing something different. And you'll see the difference. Sometimes what I do, I take my laptop and I go downstairs and I code downstairs. It's not meant for coding. It's not meant for like productivity. I just sit on my couch with my laptop on my lap and I just code there because I don't want to sit here, because I sat here for 8 hours and I'm done working and I want to do something different. I want to change my environment. So it's really important to change your environment, and it's okay to change your environment. Also, it's important to have a schedule where you can prioritize coding and your personal life. Because coding and practicing coding and keeping your skills sharp is important. So you can't just say, I'm just going to code at work. I'm not going to code after work. I mean, you can, but like, I think it's important to have that space where you can learn new stuff and where can you learn new skills. So have a schedule where you code. For example, you can code on Tuesdays, or you can code Monday through Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and the weekend you spend with your family or however works for you. But more importantly, you have some sort of structure, you have some sort of break. If you are at the point in your career where like you just don't want to see the code, it's okay to take a break and not code outside of work for a period of time. Let's say, okay, I'm taking a month from coding. So after work, I'm not going to be coding anymore. I'm going to do something else. It's important to have breaks. It's important to come back from those breaks. And it's important to be honest with yourself. Like, am I still enjoying my profession? And if you're not, it's okay to do something different. It's okay to change specialty. Sometimes you get sick of your specialty. If you're a mobile developer, you might as well just experiment with web development or backend development, and vice versa. If you're a web developer, you might get some experience or play around with mobile development. So it can be fun. Or new frameworks. For example, SwiftUI just came out, and you can spend time, or you can focus on SwiftUI as an outlet for your burnout. So if you get tired of UI kit, you can do it for work, but as an outlet, something to bring you joy, you can do Swift UI. And I'm sure Swift UI will soon get to the point where it's pretty much the industry standard for every app. It will take time, but like I think eventually we'll get there. So, and this is it. What I want to talk about. I don't think I have anything else. And if you have any questions, or if you have experience with burnout syndrome, please let me know. Please let me know what you do to avoid you can't avoid burnout, but when you feel that you burn out and you wouldn't want to code anymore, what do you do? Do you take a break? Do you have code life balance schedule where you know when to code and what to code? Or did you change your specialty or your career because you don't want to do coding anymore and you want to do something different? Let me know. I'm kind of curious how you deal with the burnout. Well, thank you so much for listening and watching my podcast. It was your Rambling iOS Developer. Again, my name is Eugene, and I'm so happy to have you here. Bye, y'all. I'll ramble at you the next time.